back. It is 6:42. Peter Oakes was the first Director of Enforcement and Financial Crime at the Central Bank after the crash. He's now an advisor on regulation and to the financial technology sector in particular. Peter joins me now on the line. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Donald.
Peter, you've been hearing the same kind of rumours and complaints that I have the last couple of weeks, which is basically that Ireland's being talked down by rivals for some of the financial services jobs that could come here as a result of Brexit. You're in that market. You're talking to regulators. You're talking to people making decisions. What are you seeing and hearing?
Yeah, well, I haven't heard any jurisdiction talk Ireland down actively in the way that I've been reading about some of the comments in the newspapers. I mean, I think, you know, Brexit is obviously seen by many member states as possibly a once-in-a-decade or two-decade opportunity for them to be able to showcase better their current offerings. But legally, there's no better offering out there under the EU standards. So you may find people just showcasing what they're doing in a lot more favourable light. But I think I've now been to six countries across the EU and met with regulators and indeed like the inward investment advisory boards of those countries. And
that's the equivalent of the IDA, effectively, yeah. Sorry, that's the equivalent of the IDA in those countries?
Yes, Donald, the equivalent of the IDA, yes, correct.
And so this phrase that people have been kind of charting out in the last couple of weeks, regulatory arbitrage, which is really, I suppose, describing soft touch regulation or the potential for some soft touch regulators to win business on the back of their softer touch. You just don't buy it.
No, I don't, because I mean, to me, regulatory arbitrage meanings it really comes down to meaning around your interpretation of the existing rules. So there's no change in the rules for any member state; they're still bound by various EU directives. It may be that certain interpretations are given in one jurisdiction, which aren't the same in another, and for a particular industry, that may be preferential. But I can think of plenty of examples here in Ireland where we have a different interpretation from our cousins over in the continent, and there are certain things here that may fall outside the scope of local regulation, whereas other member states, it falls under the scope of regulation. So we need to tread carefully, otherwise we'll be forced to hold a mirror up to ourselves in this debate.
Because officials in Luxembourg have been particular, I suppose, scathing of the idea that Ireland's being hard done by.
Well, equally, and I guess as a shoe was on the other foot, and there were media examples of companies moving into Ireland at the expense of Luxembourg or Malta or Spain or France or Germany, we would expect similar statements from people there. But I think you've got to step back and say, well, what really is the base for these comments? Has someone changed the law to allow these things to happen? And, you know, that simply can't happen unless the EU Commission and then through a change of directive this arises. But it really does come around to that point of interpretation. But it doesn't take away, again, from the fact that I think many member states are just recognising that Brexit as an opportunity. So it's a way of showcasing their offering.
And there is a sense that the central bank here I don't think there's any question that it's actively discouraging anyone from coming. But at the same time, it's not rolling out the red carpet. It may be the way some other regulators are.
Well, I'm not sure that's the right phrase, but I think I know where you're coming from on this. But it certainly has changed its authorization approach in the sense of its earlier engagement with firms that wish to be regulated here. So it is far easier now in the last 18 months to commence your early stage negotiations or discussions with the central bank. There are still some member states out there that won't talk to you until you actually have all the forms completed and have filed them, but we're not in that space at all. So I don't know if that means rolling out the red carpet, or is it just the regulator trying to be more open, transparent, and when the application is filed, it could be more effective and efficient. So, I think maybe we could actually look at it through another lens if we want and say that it's not necessarily rolling out the red carpet, but it's certainly opened itself up to discussions at a much earlier stage with these firms.
And some of that perception obviously comes down to just presentation, because I mean there are jurisdictions who describe what's effectively what you're describing there that Ireland has done as fast track licensing.
Yeah, that's right. So you look at France, you look at Spain, you look at Lithuania, and a few other jurisdictions. I could quote where the phrase fast track authorization comes up. But when you look at it, it's not a million miles away from what Ireland does, and that is, in a sense, if I think about it in the financial technology area for applications in that field, the central bank will give you a view after 10 days of you filing your application that if you can meet everything you say in your application, there's more chance than not you're going to get authorised. And that's exactly what every other member state is saying and doing, because they all have to apply the same standards. And if they don't, then look, you know, one of the... if it's ESMA, if it's an investment management type company, ESMA will get involved in those issues, and as will the European Commission. And you'll hear grumblings starting to emerge from the firms that are actually regulated in the member state, which is where they're saying the regulatory standards are being lowered, because they're going to be saying, well, hang on, I'm already in the member state. How come my standards haven't changed and you're offering this to new incumbents? So it's just not good for anyone if this is actually happening.
Your own kind of main focus at the moment is on fintech, sort of financial technology. Is there a Brexit play there?
I mean, I don't think there's a Brexit playbook for these sort of things, but certainly with the Brexit, it is opening up opportunities for Ireland. So what you're seeing are companies, and they're not necessarily saying we're going to move to Ireland lock, stock and barrel, because you can't do that, because no one knows what a Brexit's going to look like. Article 50 hasn't been triggered. Even so you can start those negotiations. But what I'm seeing is that if you're a financial technology firm and say you're a payments firm, which Ireland, we tend to excel at here and also starting in the e-money area, is that firms will say, look, I've got a new line of offering, a new service. What I could do is I could set up a company, a subsidiary over in Ireland and run the new business out of Ireland. And that's welcome that they do that. And then over the next 18 months, it becomes clearer that in the UK they're going to lose their ability to passport. Then they can migrate more and more of their business across to Ireland. So they've got like what I call a Brexit hedge built in there. So that's why I sort of see the potential for the Brexit play. Plus, what we also can't forget is that at the start of next year, a new directive comes into force, which is called the Payment Services Directive number 2. And there are a number of firms right now that don't need to be regulated in the payment space that will have to be regulated come next year. And we already have an opportunity to secure those firms to come to Ireland without a Brexit in the background.
And some of those, of course, are high-potential growth businesses that maybe would be easier to migrate into Ireland than a kind of a massive bank.
Well, certainly, and when they come here, they're going to find, and I'll rattle out the same three things. They're going to, you know, find a good tax base for the corporation. They're going to find a well-educated workforce, and they are going to find a receptive government and inward development agency. So those things are beneficial for Ireland, but they're the same three things that the other member states are also advancing as well in their arguments, and maybe somewhere between the jig and the reel, that's where this regulatory arbitrage discussion is sort of inflection point is coming up, but I think this is being misunderstood.
Peter Oakes, thanks for joining me. Coming